Maybe it's because, oh, you don't want to go to a foreign land. Or maybe you said, you know what, they got themselves in that situation. Let them figure it out themselves. Or tell them just get a job and they can work it out themselves. There's lots of reasons that we can be on a bomb squad. So last week we were talking about do no harm. Today we're going to talk about do good. Doing good does not mean you're part of a bomb squad that doesn't respond. And we'll be talking about that, right? So, we've been talking about John Wesley, and he has a slogan for us, so we know how to live our lives, right? What are they? Let's go out loud. First one is?
Do no harm.
What's the next one?
Do good.
And stay in love with God, right? Now, how many did well with do no harm last week? You guys did good. Anybody break one of their rules? Yeah, it's kind of hard to keep some of them if you made them pretty hard to not do. If it's something that's kind of habit that you do, it makes it even harder. So today we're going to talk about do good. And before we talk about what it means to do good, we have to talk about what Wesley was trying to tell us when he chose that. You see, because the first thing we have to remember is that we don't do good in order to be able to win God's approval or God's love. In early his life, Wesley totally got this wrong. Don't know if you're familiar with that. He did good because he thought if he did enough good, he could make himself worthy enough for God to love him, for him to earn that salvation. You know, he strongly believed that God demanded good deeds in return for God's love, right? So Wesley set out to make himself loved by God. And I thought, you know what, that makes a lot of sense. Because every one of the relationships we tend to form in the world, there's something that we're expected to do for them. We don't think about that. But when you go to work, if you want to get a raise or something like that, what do you have to do? You have to work hard. You have to get somebody else's approval to be able to do it, right? All right? Sometimes when we're dating, we might not be our total self. What do? We really dress up. We look really nice, you know. We try to be everything that the other person wants us to be, right? Because after all, don't we have to make them love us? I hate to tell you how many times I've had to counsel with people that said, I don't know what I did. No matter what I did, mom or dad wouldn't love me. As if you could do enough to have that happen. And I'm thinking to myself, thank heavens, there's one relationship that we totally don't have to do in order to be loved. And who's that? Yeah, to be loved by God, right? So Wesley finally discovered that he could never do enough stuff to get there. And you know why? Because every time that he would start doing good deeds, then he'd sin. He'd do something. And he always felt like he fell all the way back and he had to start over and over again. So no matter what he did, he was never worthy enough. Some of you might live your lives that way. I don't know. But Wesley would come to tell you this today that said that God's love and God's salvation can't be earned. There's nothing that you can do. Not that we don't want you to do good work in the world, right? But there's nothing you can do that's going to earn that love and that salvation because it's already there for you to receive, right? So quit trying to make God love you because God loves you. Doesn't mean he loves you totally the way you are, though, you know? But sometimes I think we do good for that reason. Maybe it's subconsciously, but sometimes we do good because we think we should. The church says, let's bring food for the food pantry. So we bring it, right? Now, are we really thinking about we're doing this out of the love of our heart or that it'll look really bad if you don't bring something up when everybody else does, right? And sometimes we can do work out in the field. I don't know, working with the homeless or working with, you know, at a food pantry, but we're maybe not there for the right reason. Are you there out of the love of God? Are you there to be God in the midst of everybody else? Are you just there because it's expected of you as a Christian? Sometimes I think we do an awful lot because of what's expected to us as opposed to flowing from our hearts as something that we're really really called to do. So truthfully, we have to have God in mind when we do these things, and it pours out. And Wesley always saw, thank goodness, that our faith walk was a journey. And the first step in our journey was taken by God. You see, God took the initiative. God is pursuing us at all times to have this relationship because we can't do it ourselves, because sin blinds us. It's sort of like when you have these glasses, you know, that turn dark. When you go outside, what happens when you walk in? Wow, you can't see, right? So God is sending grace. Wesley saw there were multiple different kinds of grace. The first grace was called prevenient grace. It came before. That's the grace that's coming to us. We're not even aware of it, but it's God's love and grace coming towards us. And when we respond to that gift of grace, that's when we began to have faith. That grace helps us to feel sorrow for the sins that we've committed. That's what Wesley said. And then we're pardoned. We're forgiven. We receive what's called justifying grace because we're justified before God. Being justified before God, then we're able to begin to turn away, or at least to recognize those things that we're doing in our life that aren't loving. That aren't loving ourselves, aren't loving others, aren't loving God. But that's not the end of the story. Because see, as Methodists, we don't believe once saved, always saved. We believe it's always a journey. And yes, we can sin. God loves us the way we are, but God loves us so much he's not going to let us stay like we are. So through the action of the Holy Spirit, God begins to nurture our growth with what we call sanctifying grace. So what three graces have we learned about today? Prevenient, right? Justifying, and then we have sanctifying grace. And the sanctifying grace is to help us have what we call the mind of Christ. It's to help us to begin to do the things that Christ did in our life so that we can regain and look like the image and the likeness of God in which we were created. So God's sanctifying grace changes us, and it leads us to continue on in our journey. And it should lead us to good works. And I say lead us because, I don't know about you, sometimes the last thing I'm thinking about is helping somebody else. Anybody here gets so busy in their lives, just trying to run every 34 places with the kids. I know you guys do that, right? And you've got work to do for church, and you're practicing your music, and you're at work, and you're fixing dinner. I'm thinking to myself, when's there time to do good works? I mean, have you ever noticed you don't have time? You'd love to do them. That's when you say, when I'm retired, I'm going to do all those good works. Or when the kids are in school, then I can start doing it, right? Or when I have a little bit more money, then I know I'm going to be able to give back and I'm going to give it. And does that time really come if you don't purposely do it? See, this, the Spirit speaks so quiet to me that I don't hear it most of the time, you know. I need the Spirit hearing aids turned up, you know, so that I can hear this urging of the Spirit, right? You know, and it's our choice. I mean, we don't have to do good works. We can stall out on the journey, although I don't think you can stall out. I think you're either moving forward or you're moving backwards. It's one of those things. We just don't want to admit it. If we're not learning and growing, we're going the other way. But it's our choice. I think we don't naturally feel, as humans, the need to help others because we're self-centered. We think about what's good for me? What's in it for me? I'm going to feel good if I go do good work, so I might go do it for that reason. But it's maybe not flowing from the place that it should be. Just like a one-sided marriage or any relationship, a one-sided relationship with God fails. If we're not spending time with God, we can't become that person we're created to be. And that really bothers me, because what if there was this one person that you were supposed to touch, or several people that were going to be touched by you and be led to God, and it didn't happen because you weren't listening and you didn't do it? Would you like to find out when you went to heaven, you know what, and God say to you, well, I put all these people in your path, but you were so busy you never looked up? Ever think about that? That the joy that you're missing on the journey of seeing God's in others and their face light up when they see God in you. Wesley really believed that we were going on to perfection, misunderstood by most people. It didn't mean we would be perfect. It didn't mean that we wouldn't make mistake. What he meant why that was, it was a process where we eventually could be perfected in love. Perfected in love, taking on these traits of Jesus so that we're more compassionate people, so we're more loving people, so that when there's a need in the world, it naturally pours out of us to respond it because we're in the likeness and so close to God that Spirit will move us and we'll hear it. We become even more compassionate, we think we can be. Deeper in faith of knowing that's the call of our lives, isn't it? To praise God, to worship God, and to change the world. Every day we get a chance to change the world for the good or for the bad. I wonder, when we look at that at night, how most of us would answer. As we perform what Wesley would call works of piety, and that would be prayer, that would be studying the Bible, that would be reading the scriptures, fasting, not one of my favorites, worshiping, right, sharing in fellowship with other folks, we deepen our knowledge and our love of God. And then as we respond with human compassion to others, you know, and work for justice in our communities, Wesley called that, anybody know? Works of mercy. And it's through the works of mercy, you see, that we strengthen our capacity to love others. So we need both works of piety, and we need works of mercy to be able to do that. And the more we grow in grace, the more our inner thoughts, the more our motives and our actions are aligned with what God is calling us to do in our world. Our basic motivation, then, when we're so in touch with God, is to do good. Yes. But this second rule, I think, is really hard. The first one, evidently, I found hard to do, too. These three rules are so simple-sounding, but so difficult, I think, to do in our lives. You know? And so Wesley said that if you really want to do these works of mercy, then you have to take yourself to the place where you're going to see them. Because I don't know about you, my ordinary path every day, I've rarely run into the homeless. I rarely run into people that are coming up to me and say, I'm hungry, can you give me some food? I rarely will run into prisoners if I never go to the prison, right? Or neither will I know about their families that might see some support. So Wesley said, you got to go where the need is. And so I thought to myself, well, when was the last time I saw somebody hungry? Think about it to yourself. When was the last time you saw somebody homeless or somebody that was lonely in prison or somebody in a nursing home that had nobody to help them? Were you there? And I had to say to God, I'm sorry, but I'm not usually there. And Wesley's work went beyond just helping individuals. Wesley went on to work on the social system. In fact, he organized health clinics. You can believe that. And he did cooperatives. He even did credit unions. And he worked for education for all the children and the adults in England. He did good wherever he could do good. And Jesus tells us that doing good has its own blessings. In the Beatitudes, Jesus told the disciples that doing good will result in the most full and satisfying and joyful life. People who do good will be blessed. That's what Jesus says. Now, if we're trying to measure God's blessings with material results, then we're probably going to be sorely disappointed. Mother Teresa would tell you that, right? Because sometimes doing good means passing on an opportunity where we might make more money or have more prestige. And sometimes doing good might mean that we're going to get hurt. It might be something painful in our lives. It might mean that we have to do without. But Jesus says that doing good in itself is a blessing to you, because doing good means that you and I are in harmony with God. We're actually co-partnering with the God. We're out there every day changing the world, and that's a blessing. It's only there that we really see ourselves for who we were created to be. Doing good is to join voices, just like the people. I'd like to tell you a little bit about this. A few years ago, this is a story that really touched my heart when I learned it a few years ago, at the Seattle Special Olympics. There were 9 contestants. They are all physically or mentally challenged in some way, and they assembled on the starting line, and they took off, and when they took off, one of the boys stumbled and fell down. And when the other 8 in the group saw that, they kept running, right? No. They turned back around. They all knelt down and kissed his legs where they had been scraped. They linked arms, and they went across the finish line together. And everyone in the stadium rose up, and they were cheering, and that went on for a long, long time. And people are still telling that story. And you know why they're still telling that story? I think it's because deep down, there's one thing that we know for sure, that what matters in this life is not about winning for ourselves. What truly matters in this life is helping others win. Even if it means slowing down like they did, even if it means that sometimes we just have to change our course and be open to change, it means doing good.